Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. You're at the fourth Sunday of Easter. Remember, Easter is not one Sunday to be celebrated, but is it a continuation that is celebrated week after week every Sunday as we gather in the church? There are seven Sundays that we recognize to celebrate Easter, and each of us is significant in teaching us how we completely and fully embrace the resurrection of Christ. We were reminded that every Sunday is a new beginning. Every Sunday is a fresh start. Every day is a new beginning. Every day is a fresh start. And we need that as individuals. Each and every one of us need to be reminded that we never fail, we never fall, we never move so far away from God that He won't draw us back into a deep and a committed relationship with Him if we're willing. We learn that we are resurrection people, that we celebrate the power of a God who has overcome even death. There is nothing in and through Him that we can't accomplish. And today, we learn about the mission of Christ to spread the gospel to all ends of the earth. I was so excited. You know, typically we plan these services following an event, and we did have a training event last weekend for those who wanted to be a part of Make Promises Happen. But when Ashley and I read the scripture, we realized how relevant it was to that mission. And we were so excited about the opportunity for scripture to speak to us, the need to be involved in those types of things. And again, after the martyrdom of Stephen, we began to see the gospel spread to those places where it was always intended to spread. And that's our message today. How do we grow? How do we live into our mission of growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church? And I believe many of the answers are found in Scripture today. You notice that Philip's mission was divinely directed. He was sent by an angel to where he was going to go. Know that God provides for us divine appointments. He gives us a mission, and then He opens doors to opportunities for us to live in to that mission. We see after Philip steps into the mission that there's a pause in the story to describe this person in the chariot. And we see that it's a man, that he is Ethiopian, and that he is described as a eunuch. We see that he is a court official and that he's in charge of finances. We see that he's a pilgrim and that he's coming from Jerusalem. Notice that he's reading Isaiah. I'm going to start there with the significance of this description. The first is that to have the scroll of Isaiah once again correlates to the fact that this is a wealthy individual. He's wealthy, and he is also literate. It's a sign of privilege. The fact that he's an Ethiopian may point to the color of his skin. It may also point to the fact that he dresses differently than others in Jerusalem. And so there's something that is different, identifiable about this person. He is coming to Jerusalem. He's a Jew, and we know that because he's headed to the temple to worship. Five times this man is designated as a eunuch, meaning that he was probably taken in as a young boy to be a slave. The practice for those young men that were taken into captivity was that they would be castrated. That was a way that the royal line, that lineage, could be preserved and kept
pure. They were identifiable because they were softer in appearance, because they didn't have any facial hair, because they were shorter in stature, and they made people uncomfortable. With someone who looked different, who you know had faced a tragedy that they had nothing to do with on their own, and people would avoid them. It's interesting to note that they were restricted access to the temple, where only Jewish men were allowed. Well, weren't these men? Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1. This is significant. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. So what I want you to think about is, in this story, we see this eunuch. We see this man and this descriptors of how this man was treated by society. And I want you to think of not only this man, but others, those that we face today who look different, who by no choice of their own don't fit into what we consider the social norms, those who might make us uncomfortable, those who might make us want to step away, those who the church has said are not allowed within the assembly. Someone who, through no choice of their own, makes others uncomfortable. Notice here we pick up the story, and the Spirit commands Philip to join this man on his journey. Notice that Philip doesn't just follow in faithful obedience. Philip runs to this man and into his mission. There are some questions that I want to ask you before we get into the meat of this story. The first is, who are you reluctant to join because they just make you uncomfortable? Now, I really want you to think about that and search your heart, because that's what we're gathered to do here today. Who are those that make you maybe take a step back or a step away? And where is the Spirit sending us? If we believe this story of Scripture, then we too are sent. We are called to spread the gospel. We are called into uncomfortable places. And are we running into those places, or are we staying in place in our pews? Another question is, what complications do we carry in our own bodies? Because most often, it's not the other people that make us uncomfortable. It's that we don't want to think about the things about ourselves which make us uncomfortable. The passage of Scripture gives us four questions and a quote that will guide us through the story. The first question is this: do you understand what you are reading? This is Philip asking this question when he sees that the eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. He opens the possibility for conversation and for dialogue. You know, sometimes we reject or we avoid stepping into our mission because we just don't know, what do we do? How do we do it? Start with a conversation. Just start with opening the door for dialogue. The eunuch answers with this question: how can I, unless someone guides me? It's funny because we often assume that this man must just be ignorant. He can't interpret the Scriptures for himself. But remember, this is a literate, wealthy Jew. This is someone who read well and is well read. This is someone who is literate, and this is someone who is educated. Could we consider the fact that maybe instead of ignorance, this is an acceptance of the invitation into dialogue? Because conversation takes two people. It takes someone who will wrestle through Scripture with you. There's a Jewish practice. It's called Havruta, and it is the practice of study in pairs. And I want you to consider that that's what's happening here. There's an invitation to study and an acceptance of that invitation to study together. It's so interesting. The Scripture that the eunuch is reading is from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, and it says this: he was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep before the shears, he is silent, and he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of the people. Now note that the typical study for a Jew would have been the Torah. They studied the law. They wanted to live by the law. They wanted to know the law. They wanted to know how to interpret the law. Christianity renewed a study of the prophets because they wanted to understand what the prophets had said about Jesus. They wanted to know. All of it was starting to make sense. All of it was starting to be understandable. And so there was this switch to the study of the Torah. So imagine how this man understood that passage. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, afflicted like sheep before the shears, silent, a perversion of justice, cut off from the land of the living, no hope for future generations, by no choice of his own, he was made an outcast. He was forced into a life of exclusion. Do you see what the Spirit of God has done? Provided an opportunity for Scripture to become relatable to this person, questions to come into their heart, into their mind. And he asked that question, who is this Scripture about? Is it about the prophet or is it about someone else? Opens the door for Philip to share the gospel. Let me tell you who that Scripture is about. It's about God, who stepped into a human body to experience all that you've experienced by choice, so that you could be connected with God eternally throughout all times. Can you imagine that conversation? And even more than that, can you imagine the conversations that God wants you to have as you step into his mission and allow the Spirit of God to do the work for you? The next question that he asks as they wrestle through Scripture together is, what is there to prevent me from being baptized? And you have to imagine that there's this awkward pause and Philip's silent for just a moment, because you remember that Scripture that says a eunuch is not allowed into the center of the sanctuary, and that has to go through Philip's mind. Well, there is Scripture that says, but here also Scripture from Isaiah 56, 4 and 5. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house, within my walls, a monument and a name better than the sons and the daughters. I will give them everlasting names that shall not be cut off. Do you realize the importance of not taking a piece or a passage of Scripture and using it to come against somebody? Yes, there are Scriptures that speak laws, but the mission of Jesus Christ was to open the door so that all people could be welcome into the kingdom of God. We have to wrestle with this book. We have to, in pairs, in groups, in church, and at home, wrestle with what Scripture says and allow the Spirit of God to bring us to the understanding that we are a part of his mission to open the door so that all can be ushered in to a connection with the living God. So interesting that Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, in some of your Bibles, if you have an NIV or an NRSV or a newer version of the Bible, it's not in there at all. It might be in your footnotes. It might be in brackets or in parentheses. If you have a King James or a New King James, it's written in just like it would have always been, but there's a reason for that. It's because the original text, chapter 8, verse 37, does not exist. That was written in later on and added to the text for this reason. What it says is, in response to his question, what is there to keep me from being baptized? Well, according to man's tradition, he had not made his confession of faith. You can be baptized if you confess now that you believe Jesus is the Son of the living God and if you ask him into your heart. That's written in. That was written in after the fact. So some Bibles have taken it out, saying if it wasn't there, we shouldn't have included it anyway. And others have said, but that's a part of the process. We learn a lesson from that, in that God has a process. We join with God's process. We don't get to dictate how things are done. We just move with the Spirit in the way the Spirit wants things to work. The point of the question is this: how would you answer the eunuch's question? What do I do to be included? What do I do to be loved? What do I do to be accepted, to be welcomed, to be invited? Because can I tell you that that's a question on a lot of minds today? What do I do with a world that's pushed me aside and said that I'm not valuable, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not lovable? What do I do with a world that says I'm not accepted because I don't fit into the social norms? What do we do with those who have never been invited to a birthday party or to anything since? Are we really a Christ-centered, compassionate church connecting all to God's love? Because it seems like God's asking us that question over and over and over again. And I will tell you that in this community of Stillwater, there's a whole lot of people asking that question right along with God. The next chapter following this, we're going to see the inclusion of the Gentiles. That's us. We get included into God's story. The significance is that first we see the inclusion of the eunuch. That came first. The inclusion of those in society that have been excluded. And that doesn't depend on us. God's already included them into his story. We have to decide, are we going to be part of God's story? Or do we write our own? Growth in the church happens when we follow the patterns that have been established in Scripture. Can I encourage you, support these youth and the mission that they have run to, because they have literally run to it. Support Make Promises Happen. It seems to me it's a mission that God, a door that God opened for us to step into. I want to tell you how you can do that. Just pray for these kids. Offer words of encouragement. The first week that we serve will again be the first week of camp. It's Prader-Willi syndrome camp. It's a very difficult thing to see and experience. It's going to be over Memorial Day weekend. Because it's a closed camp that is just for campers, they will provide this year an opportunity for First Christian Church congregation to go over during the day and visit. Watch for those times to be publicized. And if you can, take advantage of the opportunity to go watch these kids live into their mission. Volunteer. They have camps all summer long, all year long, weekend camps. You know, there are waiting lists for every single camp this summer, not because they don't want to let in every kid that they can let in, but because they don't have the volunteer staff to provide the needs for all of those kids. It's a one-on-one experience. They pair these kids up with another camper, and you experience camp with them just like we saw experienced in Scripture today. They wake up with them. They eat breakfast with them. They do every single activity throughout the day with them. They eat with them. They make sure that they are cleaned and that they are practicing hygiene, and then they sleep in the same cabin with them at night. It is a walk through life together experience throughout the course of the week, and many of our kids have chosen to do it week after week after week after week. We will be publicizing a wish list in our newsletter. It's things at camp that after a really tough year of financial issues, they need. Simple things like hammocks and craft supplies. If you are able, we encourage you to donate to that wish list. Our youth will be taking it with them that first week that they serve at camp. They also have a dream list. It's a bigger list. If you received your stimulus check and don't know what to do with it, I would say check out that dream list. I promise you it will go to a really good cause. I want to conclude just by saying this. We have been invited into God's story. This is one way. We've been invited into God's story lots and lots of ways. Regardless of whether you step into this story or a different story, step into God's story. Follow the example of our teenagers and accept God's invitation into God's story. Amen.